Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
So, Duchess, you're wearing another hat, a film producing hat, and what a wonderful way to start that aspect of your career with this film. It's just beautiful.
Thank you.
How did you first become involved with it?
Well, I when you marry into the royal family, you've got to learn all the history. I mean, if you don't, you're fairly ignorant. And so I married such a wonderful man, and I was so in love with him. And so when I started studying about the history, I realised the other great love story was Albert and Victoria. And I realised that it was really important that we remember Victoria as being in love and not just as this small little lady that was always angry and black.
It's a story that a lot of people aren't aware of.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that she... I just couldn't bear losing Andrew, you know, and I think that I don't know how she managed for so long without her love, and how she wound his watch every night and put out his bedclothes and never slept on his side of the bed. You know, I just don't know how she managed, really. And so therefore I was so determined with tenacity to make it happen. That was 15 years ago. And so 5 years ago when I met Graham, I said, you know what, Graham, you've got to make my movie. And he said, like, oh, yeah, you know, how many people tell me that? And then I said, well, if we win an Oscar, I will go up on stage, it'll be the King and I. And, you know, I just can't really believe that he's done it. You know, he's made this film. And Julian Fellowes, uniquely brilliant. And Tim Heddington and Martin Scorsese, I mean. But then Jean-Marc Vallée, you know, such an extraordinary filmmaker, to be able to take the greatest love story, I believe, and turn it into modern-day love.
Yes, you did a lovely job. Fantastic. Lovely job. Yeah. Now, how hands-on were you? What areas were you involved with?
I didn't. I left it to the maestros. You know, I think the mere fact that an idea of mine has come to fruition is good enough for me. But I always get out of the way of anybody that is, you know, knows their stuff better than me. And I have no idea about filmmaking. And I was pleased to be able to do that, actually, because it's a huge joy to stand on the pavement and watch a double-decker bus go by with Emily Blunt's face on it. It is. No one can take that from you. You know, the world can take everything from you, but they can't take a little sense of, it was my idea, you know.
You seem smitten. Will you be getting involved in more film projects in
yes,
the future?
I hope so. It's been so difficult to make it happen, actually. So I know it might take me another 15 years to get my next film off the ground, but I definitely will continue with these ideas, and hopefully one will come to roost.
Fantastic. Now, your daughter, Eugenie, is in the opening scene. Has she got a thing for acting, perhaps?
Well, the thing is, it's actually Beatrice, but that's okay, we can cut that bit. Beatrice has always been good at drama. She was great at school, but I don't think acting is her thing. History is her thing. Ah. She studies history at Goldsmiths, and she just loves it. So she's always reading historical novels anyway, and so to be in the film, she's now sort of embraced and engulfed herself in it. It's lovely to see.
Fantastic. How is it with two girls who are at a certain age? Are you at a critical point in motherhood?
Eugenie is 19, and she's going to Newcastle University next week, and Beatrice is 21. They're both very extraordinary young people. And so I sort of see it like they're like the oak and the cypress, as Kabul Kraban says in The Prophet, that you give them good roots and then they grow to the light. And I think that Andrew and I have given them very good roots. That we've given good, strong ground for them to grow very strong trees.
Fantastic. Going back to the movie, it shows the monarchy a very long time ago. How do you think the monarchy has changed in recent years?
I don't think it has. I think it's an institution that has kept going. I think that I think it's incredible how the Queen Mother used to say to me, oh, you know, I mean, imagine what she's seen, the Blitz and the war, and yet she still managed to know exactly what was going on in modern day life. I remember her clearly asking me about Weight Watchers, you know, it's amazing. She was always in the know. And now our present queen is just so incredible. She just knows. And it's no good hiding anything from the queen because she just knows. I think that it's a great example of a matriarchal line keeping a country together. And I think it's one of the greatest institutions I know. And I've been lucky enough to be part of it. Which, I mean, how many people can say that?
Really?
Whoa, what a blessing. What a blessing.
And yet you've done so well striking out on your own business-wise. Any advice for young women who are maybe setting out on their own and want to get started on a project? You've done so well with everything you've touched, it seems.
I think the truest thing is always to see... the truest thing is when you plant a crop of seeds in the field and people come up and say, that's a good... you've had a great harvest. Then you turn around and say, yes, okay, thank you. Because the next year, it could be a very bad harvest. And they'll come up to you and say, oh, aren't you sad you've got a bad harvest? And you say, no, thank you very much. And you thank them again. I think life is like that. I think for any young person, don't always be hit by the negativity. Keep fighting on for your own dreams in your heart. And don't let anyone take them from you. Because it's too easy for older people or teachers or grown-ups to say, you know, no, no, it's not done like that. Who said? Who says it's not done like that?
Another thing that young women are facing is a sort of barrage of image consciousness. It's harder than ever for them to live up to the images they see in magazines. And
it's impossible.
Hollywood.
It's not just young people. I'm 50 this year, and I find it terribly difficult always to think that no one's going to love me for just being me. You know, I've always had a weight problem, and I've always thought that it's made me inadequate. And so I know exactly those feelings of low self-esteem. There's nothing worse because it ruins your day.
And so how do you get over that? I mean, you've done it very well. What's the
secret? Well, you think I've done it very well, but I actually have to work very hard at it because you permanently... there's a young girl that interviewed me this morning, and she came in and she had perfect nails and perfect look and everything was perfect. And I went, oh... you know, and you just always compare yourself, and I think that maybe we've got to learn not to do that, and that you're really okay as you are, and it's really just all right. And I think that I suppose the real thing is all is well. All is well. When I really feel bad about myself, or when I really worry, is I go and see someone in a wheelchair, or I see someone who's blind and can't see you, and I do really look at it and go, Sarah, what are you talking about? You are, from luck and privilege, you've lived a blessed life. For heaven's sake, get over yourself.
Wise words, wise words.
Yeah.
Are you involved in writing any more children's books, or what are your latest projects?
Yes, I've got, I've written 27 books in all, not just children's. And my latest book, Ruby, she did very well last year. And she was on the bestseller list for quite a while. And so Ruby, now Simon & Schuster want to do Ruby 2. And so Ruby now is going to save the environment. It's for 3 to 6 year olds, so don't worry, we're not going to do huge mountainous things. But she's going to learn how to do it. And so I think there's going to be a long line of Ruby books. Little Red is still doing well. A new book came out 3 weeks ago for Little Red. And I don't know, I've got so many different things to do. I'm going to write, my next book will probably be on a Mother's First book, Put Mums First.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you're involved in a lot of charities. There was a big event last night, an AIDS fundraiser. What charities are you involved in currently?
Well, in fact, actually, I'm glad you've asked me because the good news is today I launched the Sarah Ferguson Foundation Canada. And it's a big day. Because I wanted to be able to give back to the Canadian people, because they gave me my lovely honeymoon. And, you know, I always wanted to come and live here, really. So I'm starting that today, and I think we're going to have some fun with that.
Great. And is that to benefit children? Or?
Yes, yes. It's, the Sarah Ferguson Foundation benefits anything that I really would like to benefit, really, because it's mostly children, because I live with children. I love children. Don't like grown-ups very much. But a lot of the Sarah Ferguson Foundation right now is for mums. You know, mums that have gone... that have lost their, you know, suicides to children with suicide, and mums really in struggling mums. So the Sarah Ferguson Foundation Canada will probably be more on mums and children.
Fantastic. Well, mm-hmm. Duchess, congratulations on your new charity. Fabulous film, and I wish you well in future projects.
Thank you. No, thank you very much. It's a lovely interview. Thank you.
Thank you.